Welcome to our reflection on the Holy Family.
Yeah.
Especially fitting as we celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in all the activities. But today, let's really kind of delve into this deeper meaning of the Holy Family and what it means for us. Before we begin, let's invite the Holy Spirit to guide our conversation.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to your presence as we reflect on the Holy Family.
Yes.
Help us to see beyond that idyllic Christmas card image and understand the lessons that they offer for our own families today.
Mm-hmm.
Grant us clarity, wisdom, and open hearts to your truth.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We often idealize the Holy Family, this perfect picture of peace and harmony.
Right.
But the reality is every family, even the Holy Family, experiences challenges.
Yeah.
So how can we reconcile that ideal with the messiness of our own lives? What does God truly intend for families?
That's a great question, and it's something the source really digs into. It emphasizes that God has a specific plan for families, a blueprint, if you will, that's woven into creation itself.
It specifically mentions families reflecting God's image, drawing from Genesis 1.27. But what does that actually look like day to day? It's more than just having children, right?
Absolutely. It goes far beyond biology. Think about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That dynamic of love, relationship, creation, and nurturing families are meant to echo those divine qualities.
So in a sense, families become a microcosm of the Trinity. That's a powerful concept. The source also talks about family as a covenant, referencing Genesis 2.24.
Yes. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What's fascinating is the depth of that word covenant.
That makes me think about God's covenant with his people, that unwavering faithfulness and love that endures trials. Are you saying families are called to embody that same level of commitment?
Precisely. It's about a bond that goes beyond emotion or circumstance, a commitment rooted in something much deeper. And this is where the Holy Family offers a compelling example, wouldn't you say? They weren't immune to hardship. The source even points out their flight into Egypt, a situation filled with uncertainty and fear.
That's true. They faced real-world problems just like we do. It makes their example all the more relevant and relatable. They lived out their faith in the midst of very human circumstances. This makes me think about Luke's description of Jesus growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Clearly, this was about more than just Jesus being perfect. How does this relate to the role of families in our growth?
That's a crucial point. The source highlights family as the primary place of faith formation. Deuteronomy 6.6-7 underscores this, urging parents to teach God's commands and make faith part of everyday life. The Holy Family lived this out beautifully. Jesus wasn't just lectured about God. He experienced God's love and presence within his family. That's a powerful model for us today.
It certainly is. So far, we've been talking about this beautiful vision, God's plan for families, the inspiring example of the Holy Family. But let's be honest. Things aren't always so picture perfect in today's world.
Right.
The source doesn't shy away from the challenges modern families face. Where did we get off track? What went wrong?
That's an important question, and the source tackles it head on. It points to several key factors: societal pressures, the growing emphasis on individualism, and a devaluation of life itself. All of these directly contradict the values God intends for families. Selflessness, sacrifice, prioritizing others' needs above our own.
It's almost like we're living in a culture of me first, which seems completely at odds with the idea of family as a covenant, a place of self-giving love.
Exactly. And this me first mentality even seeps into how we raise our children. The source gives the example of children being more influenced by screens than by their parents. We've all seen it, kids glued to their phones, missing out on real life interaction and connection. What kind of impact do you think this has on family life?
It's concerning, to say the least. If kids are getting their values and worldview from screens, what does that mean for families?
Yeah, it raises some serious questions. The source argues that we're essentially outsourcing faith formation to media pop culture algorithms. And when that happens, families lose their grounding. It's no wonder so many people feel fragmented, adrift in a sea of conflicting messages.
It's almost like a ship without a rudder, as you said earlier.
Mm.
It's easy to get caught up in the negativity. But thankfully, the source doesn't leave us hanging in despair. It points toward a path of restoration, a way back to the family life God intended.
Exactly. It offers practical suggestions. For individuals, families, society as a whole, it all begins with a personal decision, a commitment to return to God, as the source puts it.
That makes a lot of sense. You can't build a God-centered family if you yourself haven't made God the center of your own life.
Yeah.
But how does that translate into action? What are some tangible steps?
Well, the source emphasizes personal renewal. reconnecting with God through prayer, scripture, and the sacraments. From that foundation, we can begin to influence our families.
One suggestion that really resonated with me was the idea of reclaiming the dinner table. It seems simple yet profound.
It is. It's about intentional connection, putting aside distractions, gathering as a family, sharing a meal, engaging in meaningful conversation. It doesn't have to be fancy or formal, just a conscious effort to be present with each other.
And maybe incorporating elements of faith into those moments, saying grace before meals, sharing what we're grateful for, or discussing something we learned from scripture that week.
Exactly. Weaving faith into the fabric of daily life, making it something natural and organic rather than forced or preachy.
The source also stresses the importance of forgiveness and love within families.
All right.
Let's be realistic. No family is perfect.
Right.
There will be disagreements, hurt feelings, and moments of distance.
That's of course. But it's how we navigate those moments that truly matters. Do we respond with bitterness and resentment, or with forgiveness, grace, and love even when it's difficult? That's where we genuinely reflect the love of Christ within our families.
So it's not about achieving some impossible standard of perfection, but about striving to live out the values of the gospel, even in the messiness of everyday life.
Exactly. It's a journey, a process of growth and sanctification. We're in it together, supporting each other, challenging each other, and ultimately drawing closer to God as a family.
You know, I appreciate how the source doesn't place all the responsibility on individuals. It acknowledges the role of society in supporting families.
Absolutely. It advocates for rebuilding strong faith communities, advocating for policies that uphold the dignity of the family, and being a light in the world by authentically living out our values.
It's a call to action, inspiring us to play our part in creating a culture that values and supports families. So with all of this in mind, what's the key takeaway for someone listening, perhaps feeling discouraged about the state of their own family? Or just wondering how to live out this call to holiness in a world that often feels hostile to faith?
I believe the message is one of hope. Yes, the world is messy and families face unprecedented challenges, but God's plan remains unchanged. His love is still powerful. His grace is still sufficient. And it all starts with each of us, making that personal decision to return to God, to invite Him into our families, and to be intentional about living out our faith in the everyday moments.
That's a powerful reminder that even small acts of love, forgiveness, and faith sharing can have a ripple effect, impacting not only our families, but also the world around us.
Exactly. Think of it this way. What if the Holy Family were to gather around your table tonight? What would they see? Would they see love even amidst imperfection? Would they see a family striving to put God first?
That's a beautiful image and a powerful challenge. It brings it back to the heart of what we've been discussing. That the Holy Family isn't just a distant ideal, but a source of inspiration and guidance for us today. Their example reminds us that holiness isn't about achieving some unattainable perfection. It's about persevering in love, leaning on God's grace, and growing in faith together. As we come to the end of our reflection, I think it's fitting to turn to the prayer for the restoration of family as God intended it to be. Would you lead us in that prayer?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, you are the creator of all, the one who designed family to be a reflection of your perfect love. In your wisdom, you made the family a place of safety, unity, and holiness, a sanctuary where your presence could dwell. But Lord, we confess that we have strayed from your design. We have sought our own ways, turned away from your truth, and allowed the world to shape what only you can sustain.
Father, we come before you with hearts humbled and broken, pleading for your mercy and grace. Restore what has been lost. Heal what has been wounded. Rebuild what has been broken. Bring families back to the foundation you intended, rooted in faith, bound by love, and centered on Christ.
Lord Jesus, you are the heart of every home. You are the glue that holds us together when life pulls us apart. Come into our families with your healing power. Restore relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters.
Teach us to forgive as you forgive, to love as you love, and to serve as you serve. May we put you at the center of all we do, making our homes places of prayer, peace, and grace.
Holy Spirit, breathe new life into families today. Where there is division, bring unity. Where there is despair, bring hope. Where there is apathy, ignite a fire of faith. Let your presence be felt in every home, reminding us that you are the source of all love and the answer to every need.
Father, we pray for parents that they may courageously take up the mantle of teaching their children your word. We pray for children that their hearts may be open to your truth and shielded from the lies of the world. And we pray for society that we may turn away from the distractions and deceptions that harm the family and instead embrace your design with humility and trust.
Lord, we know that with you, nothing is impossible. No matter how far we have fallen, Your love remains steadfast, and your grace is sufficient to restore all things. So we surrender our families to you, asking for your blessing and your guidance. Make us lights in the darkness, witnesses to the power of your love and the beauty of your plan.
We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
What a beautiful prayer. As we kind of wrap up our reflection on the Holy Family, I want to go back to something you said earlier, that personal decision to return to God. What does that look like practically? It's easy to feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. You know, where do we even start?
That's a common feeling. But the good news is, even small steps can make a big difference. It might be as simple as setting aside a few minutes each day for prayer. Even just talking to God as you would a friend, or picking up the Bible and just reading a passage, reflecting on how it speaks to your life.
I love that. Just starting small and building from there.
Mm.
The source also mentions the importance of community. It's not just about individual effort, right?
Right.
We need the support of others.
Absolutely. Connecting with a faith community can provide encouragement, accountability, a sense of belonging. It's a place to share your struggles, learn from others, and grow in faith together.
I'm also thinking about the impact on society. We talked about advocating for policies that support families, but what can we do on a personal level to really create a culture that values family?
Yeah, that's where our actions speak louder than words. It's about being intentional in our relationships, prioritizing time with loved ones, offering support to those who are struggling, and simply living out our values in a way that inspires others. Imagine the ripple effect if each of us committed to strengthening our own families and supporting the families around us.
That's a powerful thought. It reminds me that we're not alone in this. We have the example of the Holy Family to guide us, the support of our communities, and the unwavering love of God to sustain us.
And that's a message of hope that we can carry with us this Christmas season and beyond. Even amidst the challenges and imperfections of our world, God's plan for family remains a beacon of light. By embracing his design and striving to live it out in our own lives, we can be instruments of his grace and love, building stronger families and a more compassionate world.
Beautifully said. Thank you for joining us today. And to our listener, may the peace and joy of the Holy Family be with you and your loved ones this Christmas and throughout the new year.